Well, I think I got baptized again today in the process, but luckily I wore a shirt that dries quick. So, well, hey, I told everybody after we were done, I didn't tell them ahead of time, that y'all got to witness history today because, as you know, I'm new at this, and I've never baptized anybody before. So that was my first group, and I'm really excited about it. So, well, I didn't give you a joke last week, so I figured I better get one this week. At the pearly gates, again, a taxi driver and a minister are waiting in line. St. Peter consults his list and says to the taxi driver, "Take this silken robe and golden staff and enter the kingdom of heaven." St. Peter's next greets the minister, saying, "Take this cotton robe and wooden staff and enter the kingdom of heaven." "Just a minute," says the minister. "That man was a taxi driver, and he gets a silken robe and a golden staff, while I get a cotton robe and a wooden staff. How can this be?" "Up here, we work by results," St. Peter says. "While you preached, people slept. While he drove, they prayed." Well, we have a lot going on this morning, so like any good pastor would do, I shortened the message a little bit. I knocked 90 seconds off of it just for you. So, this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about investments. Maybe that sounds like a strange topic to you, but I think it'll make sense shortly. I want to play a game with you today, and we're going to call it good investment, bad investment. And I'm going to throw a scenario at you, and you're going to tell me if it's a good or a bad investment. It should be easy for you. I'm sure most of you you have a 401k or some way to invest in your retirement, so you're used to this idea of investment. So I'm sure you're going to do great at it. Okay, so if I told you at the beginning of this service, I wanted you to give me $5, and then after the service, I'll give you back $4. Would that be a good investment on your part or a bad investment? That would be a bad investment for you, wouldn't it? It would be great for me, and I want to tell you up front that I am more than happy to do this. I'll make sure I have change for any of you that want to participate in that. Well, what if the same scenario, I were to tell you, before service, you can give me $10, and then when service is over, I'm going to give you back 15. Amen. Well, that would be a good investment for you, wouldn't it? Yeah, that would be great. You made $5 to sit here and listen to me ramble. So that would be awesome. The fact of the matter is, you know, we spend a lot of time trying to figure out how to save for our future. You know, what will we do when we're too old to work? What will we do if we become disabled and we can't work? How will we live? We spend a lot of time trying to answer these questions and develop plans to make something happen for our future, because the last thing we want is to end up homeless and broke, right? Amen. Now, I don't know about your house, but at my house, we are at the point where grocery shopping has turned into an investment. And I know that sounds strange. We have this strange phenomenon that has occurred called a stockpile. Any of you familiar with a stockpile? This is something that happens when you take your grocery budget and you do your best to combine sale ads with coupons and get things as cheap as you possibly can. And when you run across a really good deal on something, you stock up on it, and you get a bunch of it so that you don't have to buy it again for a long time. You know, especially when it's a regularly used item. Well, over time, the more you do this, the bigger your stockpile gets, and the more you have the opportunity to be choosy about what you buy and get the very best price because you have everything you need. So it's pretty cool. But it is an investment of sorts. You know, I've even heard of some folks in this church that do this, and occasionally they actually get paid to purchase stuff. I know that sounds weird, but it happens. I don't know if you've seen that show, Extreme Couponers. I don't think it's quite that easy. I've come to the conclusion that that show is a little bit staged, but it does save you money to do this. Doesn't save you time, but it does save you money. Well, as we kick around this idea of investing, and I'm talking about money, I'm guessing that a lot of you are saying, oh great, here we go, another sermon about tithing. He's just after our money. Well, I want you to know that's not the case today. That's not where God has led me, so you're safe for at least one more week. I do want you to see something, though. I want you to see what Jesus had to say about investments. So if you have your Bibles, open to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, and we're going to read through 21. And this is what he had to say. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Amen. You know, Jesus was speaking at a time when worldly riches were defined by cloth and precious metal. These were things that were of value that people would be able to relate to. And in verse 19, he was trying to make people see that these types of riches were so fragile that they could be destroyed by simple things like moths and the elements. They could be stolen, never seen again. Now, he wasn't saying that we don't need to plan for our future or spend our money wisely. That's not what he was saying at all. He wasn't even saying that we can't have nice things. He was essentially talking about our attitude. What's your attitude towards material possessions? Are you a person who looks at life as a game of he who has the most wins? The point is, in the end, those things don't matter. You can spend your whole life working for things that in the end are of no benefit to you. Let's take a look at what he says again in verse 20. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. What does this mean? Lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. It means that everything we have needs to be used to give glory to God. It means that measuring wealth should be done from an eternal standpoint and not a worldly one. You can ask yourself the question, am I using what God has given me to grow His kingdom? Because ultimately, your heart, your focus, will be where your treasure is. Whatever you value will get your attention. You know, I'm excited today because we have invested enough that we had four people publicly confess Christ as their Lord and Savior, and we're baptized. And as a church, that's one of the major reasons that we come together. That's what we're here for. This is something that we were and should be cheering about. It is so awesome. It's a true time of celebration. You know, I have to remind you that at the beginning of this year, I told you that we were going to see 30 people baptized. And we will. And I know some of you are a little bit concerned that maybe my focus is on numbers. Well, I assure you that it's not. That's not my focus at all. What I'm focused on is seeing this body begin to invest time, spiritual gifts, talents, and money into the things that have eternal value. I know that as we do, those numbers will come on their own. And maybe you're saying, you know, how can this be that this is going to happen? How can you be sure that when baptisms have been on the decline now for several years and churches are getting smaller? And maybe you want to remind me of what 2 Timothy chapter 3 says about the end times. And I'm going to read it to you. It says this. It says, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power." Maybe that's what you're thinking about, and you wanted to remind me of that scripture. And the only thing I can say is, I know it's true, and I see it too. But maybe I am just crazy enough to believe what Matthew 16:18 says. It says, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Maybe I'm still crazy enough to believe that as the body of Christ, we care enough to come together and make an impact in this community. I still believe that if we invest in the purpose of Christ the way He expects, then we can see 30 people transition their eternal destiny from death to life. And we'll see them baptized. Not only that, but I believe that we can begin to help them grow. We can help those 30 grow and countless others along the way. And we can bring them to a point where they too are ready to invest. And we can get this train moving down the line. You know, I still believe that if we're obedient, that the gates of hell will not prevail against us. We can make a difference. Well, maybe you're still skeptical and you think we won't succeed. Maybe your mindset is that we can't make a difference. Well, I have a challenge for you if that's what you're thinking. I challenge you to tell one of those four that were baptized this morning that we can't make a difference for them. I challenge you to tell them. Tell them that the preaching and teaching that they've been hearing hasn't made a difference for them. Tell them that the one-on-one instruction that they received didn't matter. Tell them that the friends they've made here didn't make a difference in their life. I dare you to tell them that. Tell them that the money that we've given to invest in their lives didn't make a difference. We made a difference to this group. We prayed and we invested, and I'm here to tell you we will continue to make a difference for them and many more. You know what else? I can't help but share this. This body of believers right here made a difference for me and my family. You know, without all of you, I wouldn't be here today. I don't know where I'd be, but it wouldn't be here because I wasn't headed down this path. And you all invested your time, your spiritual gifts, your talents, your money, and you made a difference in my life, and not only mine, but my family. We all have a story. And somewhere along the line, someone decided to invest in the local church, and they made a difference in your life. Amen. Don't ever forget that. We can never stop investing. We can't give up. Let me tell you why. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says this. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be with God and not of ourselves. We have to remember that God has entrusted us with a treasure. He has entrusted us with Christ. We carry it in our bodies. We carry it in these earthen vessels. And it's powerful. And we can use that to make a difference for people. Jesus makes a difference in people's lives. I want you to know that. We have to invest our resources in a way that will allow us to share that treasure of Christ so He can change lives. Eternity is a long time. I've said it 100 times and I'll say it again. That song, Amazing Grace, has a verse that says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. Think about that for a second. After 10,000 years, it's like the very first day. It's hard for us to grasp eternity. Make a difference in someone's eternity. Will you all stand with me? As you stand, I ask that as always, you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a few minutes. And I want to take a few minutes to talk to you. You know, it was brought up a few weeks ago, and I say it again today, that if we would come together and use our spiritual gifts, we would impact this community like never before. Last year in the U.S. alone, 315,000 people were baptized in Southern Baptist churches alone. Maybe it's time we stop sitting on the sidelines and get in the game. You know, I believe that with all my heart, that if we're purposeful and we begin to invest our time, our talent, our spiritual gifts, and our money, there'll be no stopping us. I know that God is speaking to people here this morning. I know He is. But maybe today, you're here, and you haven't given your life to Christ. You haven't trusted Him for salvation, but you feel Jesus tugging on your heart. You feel His love this morning. If this is you, I want you to know something. Jesus loves you, and He died for you. The Bible says that all of us have sin in our lives, and that sin separates us from God. And the penalty for sin is death. Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sins and mine. But the amazing part is He didn't stop there. 3 days later, He rose from the grave, conquering death. And the Bible says that if you will believe that with all of your heart and confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. Saved from eternal separation from God. Saved from hell. Today can be the day that you take care of that. You can leave here today and know without question that you're heaven bound. What I'm going to do is I'm going to pray, and I'm going to open this altar to you. You know, maybe today God is, He's working in your life, and maybe you know that you want to serve somewhere in this church, but you don't know where you fit in. I want you to come and talk with me, and we'll pray about it, and we'll get together and we'll figure it out. Maybe you're not a member of this church and you want to be. I want you to come forward and we'll talk about that too. Whatever your reason, this altar is open to you. Maybe you just have a praise for God. Most importantly, if you have never decided to let Christ lead your life, don't wait another day. Let's pray. Father, today we come before you and we thank you for the treasure that you have given us in Christ. We thank you because you have a plan for this body of believers, Lord. We thank you again today that you help us to see that not a single soul is insignificant in your eyes, Lord. Not one. And we can make a difference through you, Lord. Father, we pray that today you would inspire and convict where necessary. We pray that your will would be done here this morning. Father, this time of invitation is yours, and we just ask that you use it as you see fit. And it's in Jesus' name we come to you. Amen. Again, this altar is open to you, and if you have business with God,